Here, all through the time that God was promising Abraham, God was promising Isaac, God was promising Jacob, through the whole time that God promised Abraham, did God say one thing about giants being in the land? You can't find it. This is the first reference to it, is there's giants in the land. As though God did not know that. And the truth is, when God brings you breakthrough, there's going to be some obstacles that you got to get through. There's going to be some battles that you still have to fight in order to keep your breakthrough, in order to possess what God has for you. God just doesn't give everything to you on a silver platter. But God will break you through and give you the opportunity to take whatever you want if you'll just be obedient to God. God didn't mention it one time. He didn't tell Abraham, you tell the next generation that when they get to the land, there's going to be giants. Isaac, there's going to be, you tell that generation, there's going to be giants. You tell Moses, there are going to be giants over there. You better tell them before they get there. Why? Why would God not tell them? I'll tell you why. Because in God's eyes, they're irrelevant. Because you know why? God doesn't have an equal. Huh? Giants don't concern God. Obstacles don't concern God. If God's called you to do something and brought a breakthrough in your life, it doesn't matter what the obstacles are. God will give you the strength and give you the ability to persevere and break through. You'll have victory whether or not there's 10 giants, 5 giants, or 100 giants. Because it's irrelevant. Because the God of creation is not submitted to creation. Huh? Because they're irrelevant to God. Well, there's giants, obstacles, problems. And see, that's why we have trouble managing our breakthrough. We get saved and we say, oh, you know, I got to get up at 7 and go to work. You know, I got to, you know, I mean, we ask God for things. And then He does it and we struggle with the breakthrough. We struggle managing it. And we get all flustered about things that are irrelevant to God. Things that are irrelevant to God. And so we are held captive by what I call fantasy thinking. To think that you can go from being captive and in bondage and not have obstacles to go from here to there. Listen, here, let me tell you something about breakthrough. Let me tell you about something about God bringing breakthrough into our lives. To think that you can go from here to there and not have somebody get mad at you, let me tell you, it's going to happen. To think that you can go from here to there and the devil not try to fight your breakthrough and fight you, I can tell you the devil's going to try to fight you. To think that all your friends are going to be happy that you make a decision to live right, to walk right, to do right. All your friends are not going to stand by clapping at you while you begin to walk right. When I got saved, I lost every one of my friends. Every one of them. Friends I had for years, they'd see me coming and they would run. They ran. You know why? Because when they got around me, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear what the breakthrough that came in my life. Why? Because God did too much for me not to recognize Him. And a lot of times, not everybody's going to be in your corner when you get breakthrough. Not everybody's going to be happy about the conviction and the stance that you take in certain things. Not everybody's going to be with you and be a cheering crowd. But listen, if you'll let God free you and allow you to step into your breakthrough, the blessing of God will be on your life. You will find the promise and purpose of God for you if you will just say, God, I am not going to allow the devil or anybody else keep me from getting to where I have breakthrough in my life for you. That's the kind of God we serve. I thought God was going to bless me. There's giants in the land. Well, you know, here's what's interesting. It says there in verse 33, it says, then we saw the giants, and it said, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, right? And then it says, and so we were in their sight. That's a powerful scripture. What's he talking about? In other words, nobody talked to those giants, right? Did anybody talk to them giants? There was no report of any of those guys talking to those giants. But let me tell you what those giants were thinking. Because the Bible tells us later what they were thinking. And what they were thinking later is this. The giants in the land had already heard what God had done for the children of Israel. They were already fearful. They heard He opened the Red Sea. They heard He brought the plagues upon Egypt. They heard that God opened up the ground and swallowed people that were disobedient. They heard that fire came down from heaven around them. And so the word was already out. Don't mess with these folks. God is on their side. They heard about the boils. They heard about the frogs. They heard about the plagues. They heard about food coming out of the air and fire dropping down at night. They were already afraid. And all they had to do was walk into the land, and they were willing to give it to them. They were so fearful, they weren't even going to fight them. They were just going to hand it over to them. Why? Because God had gone before them. Let me tell you something about breakthrough in our lives. If you knew and I knew the level of authority that you have, sometimes you just got to show up and God will take charge. Sometimes you just got to be obedient and God will take charge. When I got saved, I'd been saved 4 months. And I lost every friend I had. But one of my best friends lived next door to me. I mean, we smoked marijuana together. We partied together. I mean, we were just like this. And I'm telling you, when I got saved, he was like as far away. Every time he'd see me, he hated living there. He was miserable. I could tell it. Because he'd sneak in at night and run to his back door. Because he thought I'd be on the porch. Because I'd say, hey, Bobby, hey. But I caught him one day out in the driveway. This is a true story. I said, hey, man, how's it going? He's shaking like a leaf. I'm like, man, what are you on? What are you taking, man? He's just scared. Jesus freak. I said, hey, Bobby. Before I could say anything, he said, hey, man, I believe in God. I do. I really believe in God. I said, yeah, that's great, man. I'm glad you do. He said, you know what? I'm trying to live better. I said, are you? He said, yeah, man, I'm trying to do better. I am. I really am. I'm really trying to do my best. Like I was mad at him or something. I'm like, man, that's good. God's going to be proud of you. Of course, I wasn't as tactful then, you know? I'm like, man, you're going to hell. You know what hell's like? There's fire. Worms will be coming out of your eyes. Your teeth will be gnashing. Huh? You'll burn forever. He's like, yeah. I heard about that. He said, and then he says this. Sometimes we say things just to get people off our back. But see, what he didn't realize, when he told me that, he gave me a license that he didn't realize he was giving me a license to. He said, Shane, he said, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm really trying to do good. He said, but the next time you see me doing bad, just come and help me. I said, oh. I said, all right. I said, well, I'll pray for you and we'll help. So I come home, it's a late Saturday night, Freddie. I was at church or somewhere. I pull in, man, he had this party going. I'm telling you, it was the party of parties. I mean, they were whipping and nay-naying. They were, they were brick house, whatever you want to call it. You know, they were Whitney Houston. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a party. They had cakes lined up on this back porch. They were going at it. A lot of my old friends were there. I mean, and then there was some of the friends, you know, like that are 40 years old that still haven't got out of high school, and they still hang around high school kids because they don't have a life. Y'all know folks like that? Huh? Same old folks, been doing stand on, and same folks I seen sitting on the street. Matter of fact, I drove by my own house that I grew up in just a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, and I had my son with me, and the same guy that stood on the corner smoking dope and drinking was on the corner. I said, Mike Linneman is still on that corner. He's like 70-something years old, and he's standing out there on that corner. And all these guys, and I pulled in. I thought, man, that is a wild party going on. And then it hit me. Bobby said, anytime I need help and I'm not doing right, you can help me. I said, there it is. Man, I went in. I got out, and I got my Bible. Yeah, I did. I got my Bible. I got the Word, baby. I had my sword, and I was right here with it. You know what I mean? I had that Church of God look that Assembly of God. Huh? Like I just won buttons for good attendance at church or something. Huh? I was ready. Here I come. I even put a strut to it. I was so confident. I was just like, because where I grew up, you had to walk like that so people wouldn't beat you up. They saw me coming, man. I mean, he had these line of kegs of beer that were up on this porch, and it was just like they'd get under it and open their mouths and drink out of it. I mean, it was the crazy stuff. They were on the picnic tables. They were dancing everywhere. They were in cars. Windows all steamed up. Smoking hag bones on the side and all kinds of stuff. And here I come. I come through that fence. I thought, Jesus, this is a harvest. I'm going to win every one of them. I popped that fence open. And there I stood with that Bible in my hand. And every one of them was like, phew. Like, what do we do? And they started running. I'm serious. They scattered like roaches. I'm telling you, they were climbing over fences, getting in. See you, Bobby. Talk to you later, bro. Boom, boom. They were jumping fences. They were scattering. And I thought, what are they leaving for? I walk into the house. I walk into the house and they saw me. They were running out the front door. And there was a table. It had about 12 of them. And they were playing this drinking game like none of y'all never played, I'm sure. And there was a bunch of, I'm standing there with my Bible, and they were kind of captive in the corner because that table was in the corner. And I came in this way, and if they would have run, I would have grabbed them and threw them back, just like kind of the WWF, you throw them back into the ropes. They were scattering, man. And Bobby was sitting in the middle of the table, and he said, the Bible doesn't say anything about whatever. I said, Bobby, I didn't say a word. He's like, and I'm going to go to church Sunday. I said, that's great. And the guys that were sitting at the table, all of them was like, is this like real? Is this dude really standing there with a big old Bible on his chest telling us about, is he really for real? Is this happening in your house right now? And they were stunned and they could not move. One guy, his name was Joey Volker. He shook. He was like this. He was just like startled. And the presence of God, boom, come right on down in that room. And get this. I sat there and I went through the Word of God with them. I shared the Word and had seven of my friends get saved right there at that table. Seven of them. Praying a sinner's prayer with a Budweiser in one hand and a hag bone in the other. Shaking. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. You know, and the next Sunday I had a whole pew full. It was my friend pew Sunday. And they were getting baptized and getting saved. The point is this. When God brings breakthrough into your life, He just doesn't want to bring that breakthrough in your life just for you. He brings that breakthrough in your life because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to share the goodness of God with them. That breakthrough is just not for you, but for what God can call you to do and what God can place you to do. It's not about from here to there. Not everybody in your life is going to be happy about your breakthrough. And so they saw that these grasshoppers were greater than their sight. But it was bigger in the children of Israel. They were more afraid. The giants were more afraid of them than what they were afraid. But they had that captive mindset. They were still back in the brickyards. See, half the battle was showing up. Half the battle is if you understood the authority that was in your life, if you understood the authority that God has put in your life, that when you walk into a room and that you live for God, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You don't have to be ashamed of living for God. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian. You don't have to be ashamed to say, I live righteous. You don't have to be ashamed to say, I serve God. You don't have to be ashamed. Why? Because your breakthrough is greater than what anybody else can think about you. I got over that a long time ago. But what happens is 90% of people that backslide or lose their faith, it's because they stop showing up. Huh? They stop showing up. They stop. I mean, people who have a captive mindset always have to be guaranteed something before they show up. Let me tell you, there were times in my early walk with God, I didn't want to be at church. There's times that there's things that were going on that I volunteered. I didn't wake up with the happiest mood every time after I got saved, but I kept going. Why? Because I knew it was vital to my breakthrough. I knew it was vital to my Christian life. I had to be around some people that knew what it was like to be free. I had to surround myself with people that could pray for me, with people that could walk it out with me. I had to surround myself. Yeah, you tell it, bro. I had to be surrounded by people that knew what it was like to be free so I could live in a place of being free. And you got to show up. And we're always asking the question, well, if I come, what do I get? You know, what are they going to teach me? Well, just show up with your smart self and God just might show up and do something in you that you never thought that He'd do before. Huh? Just show up. I don't know what God's got for you every time you walk into this place, but sometimes you just got to have the resilience to say, God, I'm going to be there whether the creek rises or the moon turns black or whether whatever. Because God knows that breakthrough is not a halfway thing. Moses, it says, the curiosity of Moses is what kept him. It said that when he saw the burning bush, he turned aside from what he was doing to see what was happening. And it's the curiosity. In other words, he wanted God. He wanted God. The bush was on fire. And a captive mindset. Listen, I know people that start out with God and they're on fire with God. And all of a sudden, God does something good in their life. And all of a sudden, you can't find them anymore. Huh? The Bible said that Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit, it said. They said, oh, we can't go take the land. But then Caleb stood up and said, oh, yeah, we can. We can do this. We can do this. It said they were of a different spirit. It said that both of them were a men of different spirit. In other words, they weren't ones that looked at the giants and said, they're too big for us. They looked at God and said, God is bigger than the giants. And you have to understand that breakthrough, chapter 14 and verse 6, breakthrough is the spirit that comes on you. God will give you the spirit of breakthrough. When you get tired of remaining in Pharaoh's brickyard, then you'll pursue God. When you get tired of going around the same mountain and doing the same circles and you understand that your mind has to change, God will give you breakthrough. God can put you in a new land and you can still have a captive mindset. I mean, God can bring you into a new season. God can write a new chapter in your life. But if you still have a Pharaoh's brickyard mentality, you'll sabotage the good things that God brings in your life. God can give you a new job. He can give you a new man, give you a new woman. He can bring new relationships into your life. He can give you a new house, a new car, and a new bow. Huh? But if you still walk around with a Pharaoh's brickyard mentality in your mind, and you have an understanding that you have an Egypt mentality, it won't be long before you will sabotage everything that God brought to your life. So God wants to bring breakthrough because the problem the problem is not out there. The problem is in here. Huh? The problem's not out. Your circumstances is not the problem. And everybody has a story. Everybody has a lot. Everybody's walked through tough times. But the problem is not your situation and circumstance. You ain't the first person that God's delivered. You ain't the first person that God's brought through. You ain't the first hopeless case that God delivered. I can tell you the problem's not out there. It's right here. You understand that God wants to renew your mind, give you the strength, and have the mentality that when I show up, I represent God. God will bring breakthrough to your life. I tell you what I'd tell the devil. I tell the devil. I mean, he shows up. I say, hey, bro, you're not messing with that 10-year-old kid that was insecure now. You're not messing with that dude that didn't know much about the Word. You're not messing with what I used to be. You're not messing with the guy that didn't know you or didn't hear you, couldn't tell, and didn't have you. You're not messing with that. You're not messing with that crazy dude before he got. You're messing now with the child of God. Huh? You've got to say that. I'm not the abused woman I used to be. I'm not the abused wife. I'm not the addict I used to be, the drunkard I used to be. I'm not the person I was before. You're devil, you're messing with a new brand of dude. I come to this place washed in the blood, saved, equipped to serve God and to be used of God, and I've got breakthrough running all through my veins. Huh? Yeah! Woo! Y'all getting me wound up? Huh? I've got some teaching in me now. Huh? I've got some of this. I've read a few pages of this book now. I've got some people around me now that I didn't have before. Huh? Oh. I've got the Holy Ghost in me now that I didn't have before. Huh? Yeah! I'm a keen aware of some things I didn't know before. And what I didn't know before was, is that you weren't defeated. But then I read in these pages and I realize that you're nothing but blowhard. You just blow air. You ain't got nothing that God can't handle. God is superior to everything. I'm walking with a new partner now. Huh? And sometimes the authority in your life is just that you show up on the scene. God will bring breakthrough into your life. Mm-hmm. But we got to learn to manage our breakthrough. All right, can I have 5 minutes? Yeah, I know. All right. That's all right. Y'all get breakthrough soon. God will free you from all that. See, think about it like this. But we got to learn to manage breakthrough. Can you look back over your life and see those moments that would have been changed in your life had you had learned how to recognize those moments? Y'all hearing me? Let me tell you, there's a lot of things I wouldn't have walked through had I learned early on. There were some moments in my life that I wasted that God brought to my life. Had I recognized what they were, I could have found freedom sooner. Huh? Huh? Any old me's in here? Missed opportunities, missed moments, chances that God had given us? Huh? What God gives us? Listen, this is what I see. Listen. Sometimes your breakthrough, God, He gives it to us, and we take it because we didn't know how to manage it, it takes us under. Let me give you an example. I've pastored people that have come into the church and they'd be praying for something. They'd be praying for the whole family to get saved. And God will do it. Just like that, David. Whole family get saved, get changed. Everything's good and going good for a while. I've had business guys come in, all headed to disaster. And all of a sudden they get saved, turned over to God, learn the principles of business and scripture and get in the Word of God and get changed and do some things with their business, and God's blessing them and blessing them. And all of a sudden, they get busier and busier. And all of a sudden, what used to be priority and the things of God all of a sudden is not priority. I've had people come in with marital problems, and God touched their marriage and strengthened them, and they get changed, and God, and there's breakthrough that's going on in their marriage, and all of a sudden, they forget that what God did. They forget that God was the source of their blessing. They forget that God was the source of their breakthrough. And a lot of times, if we don't know how to manage a breakthrough, God will give us a breakthrough, but we'll take that breakthrough, and because of the blessing, sometimes it comes with that breakthrough, it'll pull us under if we do not understand how to manage the breakthrough. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Huh? You want God to save your child, or you want God to do things, or you want God to give you a financial blessing, God will give that blessing to you, but you mismanage what God does, and all of a sudden, it gets worse. Or all of a sudden, nobody can find you anymore because life is good. Huh? Right? Y'all know people like that? God bring them out, do great things in their life, and all of a sudden, when things get good in their life, they forget the one who did it for them. Huh? Oh, you'll see them again. Yeah, I usually see them again. You know when I see them? I see them coming back around on the other side. Full circle. That's exactly right. And then usually it's in worse shape than it was when they first showed up. Y'all hear me? If you don't know how to manage a breakthrough, you want God to bring you breakthrough, but you better learn how to manage that breakthrough. I've seen them come back in, and not only was they in worse place than they were, they're in situations that are almost impossible the next time. Because they forgot who's the Lord of the breakthrough. And if you're going to manage a breakthrough, you have to understand that not only does God take the mindset of a captive mindset and give you the mindset of a victor, but God also, you have to understand that God is always the source of our breakthrough. You never forget that. Never forget. Your healing came from God. They'll come in, God heal them, and you'll never see them again. Come in, God changed something in their life, and they walk away, and you never see them again. But you see them, but it's always off worse than what it was before. I'm telling you, when God delivered me, saved me, I wasn't perfect. But I want to tell you something, what He did in my life was so transforming, there's no way I could walk out on what God did. And some of you are in this place, the miracles that God has done in your life. If I was you, I'd be running to these doors every time they were unlocked and the lights came on, because you could never give God enough praise and glory for what He's brought you through and what He's done for you. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, this is what I wanted to get to. I'm just going to jump over. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Judges chapter 6 and Gideon, God has said, hey, I'm with you. Gideon said, is that right? Is that right? He said, you're a mighty man of valor, God tells him. And Gideon says, if that's so, God, then where are the miracles that were of our fathers? Where are the miracles? If that's so, God, how is it that, and what happened is for 7 years the children of Israel would sow and plow and would water, and the harvest would come, and the Midianites would come, and the Amalekites would come, and they would steal the harvest. For 7 years in a row they did that. They sowed, and all of a sudden they would steal, and they would steal. You ever felt like the devil does that to you? You sow, and then at the moment that you feel like there's breakthrough in your life, all of a sudden the enemy comes and steals it from you. Well, the children of Israel, he did that for 7 years. And I thought to myself, you know why the enemy does that? You know why he wastes the harvest time? Because it's a bigger position of demoralizing if he does it at the point of breakthrough and harvest. It demoralizes who he steals from. That's why you never hear about the preachers that got 50 people in their church when they have an affair with the secretary about how they fought. You always wait. It's when they got the big mega churches that it makes the news, right? And the enemy a lot of times will let you get to the point of where you're ready for breakthrough, and at that point of breakthrough, he'll steal from you. And so how do you handle and manage a breakthrough? How do you do a breakthrough? Gideon is put in this place where God is putting him in an impossible situation. And number one, you have to be willing to take a step, to step out in a place of faith. You have to step out in a place of faith. You have to step out and be willing to go into places that are sometimes fearful. What did he tell me? He said, every man that is fearful, you send them home, Gideon. Every man that is fearful. And only when you're willing to take a step out in a step of faith, sometimes you've got to stretch yourself and you've got to do some things to get your breakthrough that you're not sure that you could do. But you have to ask yourself two questions. And here's two questions I want to leave with you in maintaining a breakthrough. You have to ask the question, who I got and what I got. You want to manage a breakthrough, you have to know who you got and you have to know what you got. You say, well, what do you mean by that? You have to know who you got. You have to know who's standing with you. You have to know who is going to stand with you in the midst of your breakthrough. Who is going to stand with you? And even though your breakthrough may be controversial, who's going to stand with you? Who's going to stand with you when you stand with conviction and you stand for the Word of God, who's going to be with you? Who's going to be with you when you succeed and when you fail? You've got to know who's going to walk out with you. Who's going to be your friends? Who are the friends that are afraid of your success because they know that if you get free, it means that in order to be around you, they got to get free too. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You got to know who's got you. You got to know that who's walking with you. Who's going to be there when you break through? Who's going to help you maintain your breakthrough? You've got to understand who's going to clap for you when you make it and who ain't. Who's going to pick you up when you fall? Who's going to be by your side when you step out in faith to do what's right? When you stand for something for God? When you stand, when you have conviction in your life? When all of a sudden the Word of God becomes controversial in your family? When it becomes controversial where you work? When it becomes controversial to your friends and even sometimes even your spouse? Huh? You've got to know who's with you. And you've got to know who's got you. And Gideon had to know that. That's why he had to displace all and the test above, because Gideon had to know who was going to go through. Who was going to step out and be willing to step into the breakthrough that God was going to be with them. Who's going to go with you? Who's going to be there? Who's going to pray for you? Who's going to walk with you? God gave him a series of tests to find out who was going to be there. But not only do you got to know who you got, you got to know what you got. You don't have to have what others have. What you got is what's in your hand. See, we think, and I've learned this, what did Gideon have? He had trumpets. He had pitchers. And he had torches. Hey guys, we're going into battle. We got a band. We got some pitchers. And we got some torches. Great. Can't wait. Huh? That's something to fight with, isn't it? Going to hit them with an iced tea jug. But that's what we got. That's what we're going into battle with, guys. Samson was surrounded by thousands of Philistines, and he whipped them by what? He grabbed the jawbone of an ass because that's all that he had. It's what was in his hand. Sometimes our breakthrough comes by what we have and what we got. And it may not be much, but it's not about what we have. It's about who's with us. It's about the God that's with us. It's about the God that is walking us through and helping us get through. Listen, I remember in the low spots of my life, and me and Laura, when we were pastoring and we had nothing. I mean nothing. And we go to the cupboard and open that cupboard up, and there'd be some marinara sauce, but no spaghetti. There'd be powdered milk, or there'd be a can of beans, or there'd be some kind. And I'm like, woo, beef, what's for dinner? And you had to whip something up. And you had to use what you had. You had to go find something. You had to take, you had to make. I mean, I don't even know how we would put some of that stuff together. But God will take what you got and use what you got. And He'll use it. And God will use it in the moment that He needs to use it for you. That's why it was a rock that took out a giant. Huh? David used what he had in his hand. He used what was in his hand. The jawbone took out a whole army for Samson. He used what was in his hand. Eleazar slew the whole armies of Philistines with just a sword in his hand. He used what he... Sometimes you just got to tell the enemy that, and just use what God has put in your hand. And use what God has given you. See, take what God's given you and then ask God for the strategy. He said, Gideon, I want you to take those trumpets and I want 100 of you to blow them. I want you to put a trumpet in every man. I want you to blow the trumpets. I want 100 of them to break the pitchers. And I want another 100 of you to hold them lights up. And I don't know how they did it. And I can't even imagine it. But when they did it, and they did it in unison, those armies saw what was happening and they thought there was a military of thousands and thousands of people. They became so afraid they began to run. Why? Because they used what they had in their hand. You want to manage your breakthrough? Let me tell you how you manage it. You use what God's given you. You use what you got. You use what God has. You use what God has put in your hand. You use, and see, you take that, and then God will give you the strategy. You say, "Well, I'm a single dad, and I got three kids." Well, you use what you got in your hand. God will give you the strategy, and God will give you the breakthrough. You just use what you got, and God will bring breakthrough. And breakthrough comes when God learns and teaches us that we can manage our breakthrough. Aren't you thankful for breakthrough tonight? Stand with me tonight. I want to sing a song tonight. I want to close with this tonight. I've had this song on my heart, and I think it's just bears the thing. This was a song that touched my life early as a Christian. It's the song I sang when I first publicly made confession of Christ. I got saved in Sunday school, but I went up to big church after I got saved in Sunday school. And when they sang this song, I walked the aisle publicly to let everybody know my life had been changed. And they sang this song. So I love this song. And I sing it all the time, but I can't sing. So I'm having Adam sing it. And I'll sing it. You sing it with me. But you'll know it.
What a friend we have. I lost it, I'm sorry. There we go. Sorry. Sins and griefs to bear.
Temptations and their trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you need a breakthrough in your life right now, would you just slip up your hands where you are? Father, I pray the Spirit of breakthrough right now. God, I pray that God, that people move from a place of survival to a place of blessing. I pray that the miracles that you've done in their life right now has only been a sign that you're with them. You've fed them supernaturally. You've fed them spiritually. You've brought people into their lives. You've led. You've guided. And God, it's only a sign that you're with them. Now I pray they step into the place of the blessing of God. I pray they step into the promised land. And though there'll be giants, and though there's obstacles, and though there's land to be possessed, I pray you anoint them and strengthen them to understand that the blessing of God is on their life. And I pray, God, that you help them recognize those who are with them. Those who are with them. I pray you help them recognize what they got. All they may have is the ability to pray. All they may have is the ability to serve you. All they may have is the ability to cut grass, or the ability to love people, or the ability to be encouraging. Or maybe they have greater gifts and talents. I pray that you let them know what they got, and then you'll give them the strategy to maintain their breakthrough. I pray everyone gets a strategy in how to break through. And I pray the anointing power of the Holy Spirit for breakthrough would be on their lives. And I declare them now free in Jesus' name. And I declare them now to be victorious. No longer to just exist, but to be Christians who, when they show up, have authority in the things of God. And I pray you free them now. I pray the liberty and blessing of God upon them, no longer to be tormented again by the very thing they're battling, but now they be strengthened. Father, we know the devil is a liar, and your people are victorious. And now, as a sign of faith, right where you are, those who've raised your hand, even if it's a small step, I just want you to take a step forward as a sign that you're stepping by faith. And you may only have a rock, but it'll kill a giant. You may only have a jawbone, but you can fight an army. You may only have one sword to fight hundreds, but God will give you the strength. You just use what you got. And now I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give God some praise, would you? Is God victorious or what? Say, manage my breakthrough. Come on, you can do it better than that. Say, manage my breakthrough, God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Would you hug about 3,000 people before you leave and let them know you love them? God bless you.